If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona 85001. NA literature can be found on the tablets in the Adovo app by searching for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous does not endorse and is not affiliated with the tablet manufacturer, the software, or the institution.
Hi, my name is Linda. I am an addict. Today we are having a recovery discussion with Ashley, who is currently in Arizona Department of Corrections. So you said that you had a sponsor on the yard and she left?
Yes. When I started going to the NA group that is on our yard, I met a woman from my same, I guess, yard. So Cruz is the main yard, and then we have like our various little areas. So we were on the same one, and she had a really, really powerful story, several pieces that I could relate to, but she also had a willingness about her that she was willing to meet with me and to work with me. And I went into it fairly apprehensive because I didn't know. I mean, I'm not used to opening up to people. I can on a certain level, but like I can connect with you. But opening up to you and showing you the parts of me that I don't want you to see, that wasn't something I was familiar with or comfortable with at first. So I went into it, and I also, you know, I weighed her words against her actions, and they were congruent. So I thought that she could be someone I could trust, and she ended up being someone I could trust. So we started working the steps together, and I would do my writing assignments, and I did work out of the workbook. She would coach me on how to approach the steps, because there is still, you know, flexibility built into them. But at the end of the day, there's the bread and the butter of them. And so we got through up to where I was going to make my amends. So I had made my list of everyone that I had harmed. And then something really interesting happened.
So you were able to complete step 8 with your sponsor on the yard?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. And then, if you don't mind telling us, what happened?
I had been, like I said, I went to trial and lost. I still had the right to appeal my case. And the finding was that I had been illegally sentenced to flat time. At that point, my sentence was vacated, and my understanding was I would go back to county to be resentenced. That was everyone's understanding. Somewhere between A and B, or it was my higher power, I'm not sure what, but whatever it was, I was accidentally released. So the day that I was supposed to be transported back to Maricopa County, instead I was just released. And mind you, my relationships were in shambles before that happened. My mom loved me because I'm her daughter.
I'm sorry. So they took you from Perryville and just took you to county and released you?
No, they released me from Perryville.
Oh.
They just released me from Perryville.
And did you tell them no? I still have
to... Yes, I did. I did. Because one, I was a little panicked. I mean, it wasn't expected. I am not from this area. I didn't have a place to go. And I also, in the back of my mind, was like, I don't want to get in trouble for this. So I let everyone know. Starting with when they rolled me up the night before, he's like, oh, you're being released. And I'm like, no, it's not really released. I'm just going to, you know, transfer custody. I'll get it back, you know. And then started becoming somewhat alarming when they wanted me to turn in all of my belongings. And I'm like, no, I'm coming right back. And that was kind of And at that point, I really believed I was going to be transferring custody and I would be coming right back. It was only when I got to intake release, and they're having me sign documents that I am being released. And I'm like, wait, so, and again, I try to explain the situation as best as I can that I'm not supposed to be re really being released. So anyway, that goes on, and then they release me. I'm dropped off at a Greyhound bus stop in the world's worst outfit. And I know that that's not relevant or pertinent information, but
Was that downtown Phoenix?
yes, downtown Phoenix.
My gosh.
And the only reason I bring that part up is because it's one thing to be like, I've changed, but where the rubber meets the road is when you're in a situation that's scary and uncertain. And I mean, I don't know if you can imagine this, but I am downtown Phoenix in azure blue pants, a floral shirt, my white sports bra from prison, and release papers and a check for my full retention that and an ID that says released offender. That's it. And so I'm panicking, and all I want to do is get out of these clothes. And in the past, it would have been a very viable option to just go and take something, because that's what I did in the past. If I needed it or thought I
Oh,
needed
to
it,
shoplift.
I would just go take it. But that fact that that wasn't even a possibility in my mind, I did get a little smile of that. I was like, this, as bad as the situation is, because I don't know what to do. And I didn't. I really didn't know what to do. But this is where the spiritual aspect of the program comes in. My higher power did. In the same way that he led me to the steps, he led me to this nice woman who, in addition to showing me kindness, bought me a frappuccino and an Uber to a bank that would cash. So my thinking in this is that I just need to get to my mom. So I need to get 2 hours up north. I can get on a bus, I can cash this check, and it's going to be okay. And in theory, that would have been fine. So I get to the bank though, and a check for that amount requires a secondary form of ID. And that check is tied to me being able to get to my family, at least my mom, because the rest of my family, not my biggest fan. So the bank manager, who would have been well within his rights if he was just get out, especially seeing my released offender, like he just, all he knows about me is I just got out of prison. But again, he showed me kindness, and this is where the steps really start coming in. So I had to contact my sister, because the only way I could cash this check would be if someone sent me my ID and a social security card. And the only person who had that was my sister. So I call her, and mind you, we haven't spoken since I was locked up. We got in a huge fight. I tried selling her wedding ring before coming to prison.
Was she on your eighth step?
Oh, she was definitely on my eighth step. She was on there for several different things, actually.
And now you're calling her out of the blue because you've been accidentally released.
And her first question to me is, do they know you're out? I'm like, bug, I'm at this bank, I'm trying to cash my check. They accidentally released me, and she's like, are you sure? Like, she's like, Ashley, like, are you on the run right now? I'm like, no, I promise. This really happened.
Oh, man.
I don't know how, but this is where I'm at. And in order for me to get to up there to mom's, because like I didn't even say my sister's, just to my mom's, I need to cash this check because I'm stranded right now and I have to be at my court date on Friday. And this was a Tuesday. And she's like, well, you know, Justin works in Phoenix. And I just break down on the phone with my sister because I'm like, the last time I talked to him, he told me I was the worst person in the world. And I looked him in the eye and I said, I know you're right. Like, I was completely in agreement with him. And I was so afraid to face him again because, as mad as my sister is, she's still my sister, but I am someone who's now hurt his wife deeply. And he was the first one that I was able to make amends to, because he was also in my eighth step. And I would have eventually made, direct amends to him if and when possible. However, God saw it fit that I would make amends to him that day. So she says, he's going to come pick you up. And I was like, well, how far? I started coming up with excuses for him. I'm like, well, I'm really far away. Like, you know, I don't want to interrupt his afternoon. It's rush hour in Phoenix. And I had all these, my sister just tells me, you're my sister. I want to make sure you're safe. Justin's going to come. So I pulled.
So that was like your brother-in-law? Or?
That's my brother-in-law. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry. He is my brother-in-law.
No, it's okay.
I'm so glad I have you to anchor me.
No, it's all right. Yeah. So your brother-in-law came and got you. You were able to, I mean, you weren't even thinking you were going to have contact with him yet. And here you are in a situation where you need to rely and ask for help. Yeah. So how, I mean, during this process, I can imagine you choosing the next healthy choice over and over and over. Were you thinking about using at all?
I was thinking about the fact that I was in an interesting situation, and like with fear being such a familiar friend of mine, what I was thinking is that I'm so glad I'm not trying to cash this check to go pick up. Like, that was when I realized that something had taken some sort of a route, and not to the degree where I would have trusted myself beyond like that week. Like, I need more healing. I need more recovery. But I did find that I was more capable of dealing with life on life's terms, because those weren't my terms. Everything that was happening, not my terms, not what I was thinking I was going to do that day. not my terms, even down to, the officers before we left the prison, they had to get gas. So that took a little time. And then, and they were very kind. I will say that they were very kind. They're like, we can't keep you. Cause I asked them, I'm like, what if I just stay here? but it was refreshing to be able to face life on life's terms, because that's what I never could do before. That's what I didn't do before. So choosing the next right thing, I don't want to say it was the most comfortable thing, but I had so little options that it was the only thing, because I did play the tape forward. I saw what would happen. Like, if I didn't show up to that court date, there would be a warrant that was issued. I would be facing new charges. Like, everything that I had built, that I had worked for, feeble that it might be, and like small as it might be, it was something. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice that all. So I think like there were such extreme choices, like go back to addiction, face charges, it's all bad, or try something different. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, this could be an opportunity to reduce my sentence. Like, I went into this with the assumption that they were only going to be removing flat time.
Right.
But I also started seeing some of the benefits of doing the next right thing, of, you know, having a list of those people that I did wrong, and being willing to make amends, not because it will feel good, but because I genuinely believe that I owe them amends. And that I really do need to make it right as far as I can. And the more that, like, my sister sending her husband, my brother-in-law, to get me those little things, they broke chains. Him showing up. And before we even got in the car, like, and I even told him, I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but your name is on a list of people that I've hurt directly and indirectly by hurting my sister. And I was like, I did not think that I would have the chance this side of a decade to look you in the eye and apologize for the harm that I caused your family. Like, they had the girls like go to my aunt's house that night. They knew it was going to be that explosive. It was so bad. And I mean, there's so many other facets that we don't have time to delve into, but the depths of my depravity and addiction were awful. So to look at him and be like, I am so sorry. And not just sorry, but I know that I have caused you a loss of sleep. I know that I have, you know, interrupted the health of your family circle. Like, I know that I have brought nothing but shame to this family. Like, I know that I'm an embarrassment. Like, I know all those things. And what I will say, like, my living amends to you going forward is I'm going to be a different person. Like, I'm already a different person. Like, but I don't want to move forward without your love. And I don't know if I
Yeah.
said it that way. I don't think I did, but
Yeah.
and when he hugged me, he's like, "Your family, it broke something because
Wow.
my disease lies to me." And
Yeah.
the lie that I had been told was that I would never be a part of my family again, that I had gone
Right.
too far, I had fallen too far, and that and the good news about that is that in NA, it says that no one has fallen too far, that no one is beyond reach. If you're open, honest, and willing, and you want to change, you can.
So your sister tells you, "You're my sister, I want you safe," and your
Yeah.
brother-in-law tells you, "You're family." And so, wow, that's amazing. And I know, I was at the meeting the night that you shared that with the girls in the circle on your yard. And everybody's mouth was dropped open and wondering, you didn't think about running to Mexico?
No, at that point, I had already experienced a little bit of freedom just in not feeling like every moment needed to be spent in addiction. And I want, like, if I did that, I would be saying goodbye to my son forever. I
Yeah,
would,
so I
it
was
was
going to
just
ask
never feasible.
you have children?
I have one son.
And that's the first thing that I would think out of if I could, was in your spot, I would want to see my kid. How did that feel?
I prayed about it in all honesty. I brought it to my mom, my sister, and ultimately at the end of the day, again, I chose to do the next right thing because the reality is my family sees Braxton often. That's my son's name, and manipulation was as much a part of my disease as breathing. And I did, that thought did go through my head, like, because I just wanted to see him. I didn't get to say goodbye. I was just gone. And that was all he knew. But then what kind of example would I be setting for him? So I did something that like would not have been the norm in the past. And I let Michael and Sid know that I had been accidentally released and that if there was any way possible, I would really like to see Braxton. And then I left it up to them. And I did that with, I mean, I was 90% sure that it would be a no, but I wanted him to know if, he learns my story when he gets older, I want him to know that I tried, but I also agreed with them that it wasn't in his best interest because to bring me back, just to take me away again seemed cruel. My concern was, because I played out every possible scenario. Because again, I didn't just bring myself into my addiction. I have brought my whole family along for this ride, and
Yeah.
I want to minimize the damage that's caused. So I didn't want my nieces to talk to him and about seeing Aunt Ashley and him to not understand, like, well, why didn't I get to see her? So I put it all back on, and I hope that wasn't a lack of accountability, but I just let them make the decision, and then I accepted that decision.
Are you talking about your sister and your brother-in-law?
No, this was
Oh.
my ex and his now girlfriend.
Oh,
I
okay.
let them
So
make the decision because
the
Michael,
adults that are taking care of him. Okay.
yeah, he's with
Yeah.
his dad and his dad's girlfriend, and she's very stable.
Okay.
And I'm grateful to them.
So what's it? I mean, that was what? Was that in the winter time that this happened?
I got back in February, February 27th.
Yeah.
Which was almost exactly a year. It was a year to the day of when I initially came in to RNA, which I got to
Ah.
do again.
Yeah. Oh, so you went back to RNA.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's brutal.
Full release, full intake.
And so what happened with the time that you are sentenced with? What was the result of going back through the process?
Well, they were really surprised to see me. So
Right.
when I showed up, and the funny part was, so I walked through the door, and my mom went with me to court. She was going to the restroom downstairs, so I walked through the doors by myself, and there was the bailiff, who's the officer, and he subtly moves from where he was originally seated by the bench to the back of the room, like he's guarding it. Like, now's the time I'm going to choose to run away from this. And I laughed, and the judges, or not
Yeah.
the judge, but my counsel looked back because they wanted to speak to me outside. And they're like, it's okay. Like, she's not running now. I thought that was really interesting. But we had a conversation, and I asked, is there any chance that we could go for a lower sentence? And initially, because my original lawyer was no longer with the defender's office. He was like, well, we already got like the lowest, but that wasn't true. Like, they had slightly aggravated it and done flat time. And so the judge looked at it because I showed up, and he's like, that shows like you're taking accountability for your actions and that you're owning what you've done and that you want to make it right. He's like, so he ruled in favor, especially because when I was initially sentenced, the state wanted flat time, but they wanted the 11 and a quarter, which would have been the lowest. I was sentenced to 13 flat. So they took away almost 2 years and my flat time, which gave me roughly 4 years of my life back and opened up the door for all kinds of other things like programming
Oh,
and
wow.
things like
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
in the prison.
Wow. So, yeah, that's amazing. That's like, whoever hears about that.
No one that I spoke to, actually. Officers that have been here, they're tenured officers in the 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's so strange. It was very strange. But I mean, I will forever be grateful to that time, because it just those steps. My sister and I today, our relationship is completely different than it was prior to me coming in here. It's closer to how it was when we were growing up. Like, she's always been my best friend.
That's beautiful.
And so I will, I do, I treasure those moments. And actually, she came and visited me for the first time. She finally got on my visitation list because there was some
Oh,
hiccups there.
man.
And she showed up without me knowing. So I come up for a visit with my mom, and my sister is right there.
Oh, that's sweet.
And in a shirt that says allegedly, like, who does that? She's so great, but it was so good to see her and to hold her.
That's funny.
And
When was that?
that was like 3 weeks ago. It just
Oh,
happened. It just
wow.
happened. Yeah, so I'm still seeing the residual blessings of that
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And my nieces are both approved now. And so my sister's working on, because it's scary for people outside of these walls because they don't know that it's not like it looks in the movies. That's
Yeah.
not dangerous. They're worried about, their children coming into a place where there's a whole bunch of convicted criminals. And
Yeah.
yeah, they might think I'm okay now, but who are these other people in orange? And so I think it was really good for my sister to come in and see, and it helped alleviate some of those concerns that. Because, even when she was mad at me, there were concerns about my physical well-being, like what was happening. And so it was just amazing. And I'm hoping that the next step is getting my nieces here, because they want to come. They're all obsessed with, we have these little ground squirrels here, and my sister was obsessed with them. And I swear, I don't know if they want to come see me or they want to come feed the ground squirrels, but whatever it is, I'll take it.
Aren't they prairie dogs?
The technical term for them is a small round tail ground squirrel. But yeah, they look exactly like prairie dogs. They stand up and looking all cute, like they're the squirrel.
Right. They're totally domesticated. I've seen them. I've seen them.
The
They
one
have
was halfway up
names.
my sister's leg, and I'm like, we're not technically supposed to be feeding the critters. Like, I'm sure it's a liability if they bite you. Like, it's just
Yeah.
bad. She's like, I'll sign
Yeah.
a waiver. I'm like, not that, you can't do that here. Like, there's rules and you just have to follow the rules.
Well, Ashley, I really do appreciate you letting us record that story, because I've been clean for a while, and it seems that each time I do my 8-step list, after, you go through all the steps and you get to number 8, and then you start the list, something magical starts happening between 8 and 9, and it's not. If I'm being willing to really claim my part on my list with these people, then it has nothing to do with me. Like, there's this magical formula that starts maneuvering in my life, and things just out of left field happen. And I can't even imagine being in your situation. I would have thought that, like, every 5 minutes I'd be like, oh my gosh, am I going back? Oh my gosh, am I going to get in trouble? Oh my gosh, am I going to get absconding?
Yes. Oh,
Yeah.
I did call. So my the second that I was back up north, my family lives about 2 hours away from Phoenix. The first call I made was to my lawyer. I wanted, and it was my appeal lawyer. So I called him first, left a voicemail, then called my trial counsel, and that's when I found out that one has was no longer with the department, and then the one who had been his co-counsel was now taking leave. So I let her know. She notified the courts, and then I called back again. I was like, "So, should I be, I didn't want it to be traumatic for my family if I was gonna be like, because I had no idea, like that these were all
Picked up
such big
again.
unknowns in my world." And they're like, "No, they're, just show up to your court date." They're like, "No one in the world. There's no warrant for you. Like, there's nothing
So
until Friday.
crazy.
There's nothing that says that you have to be anywhere." Like, it was just a flat release, like no conditions,
So weird.
completely
So it
vacated the sentence. And so there, that's why Maricopa couldn't take me there. They said it would be like kidnapping. They're like,
Wow.
we can't, it would be kidnapping. And once they said that and he handed me my paperwork, like to show up at my court date, and now he was very clear. He's like, "If you don't show up at this court date, I will come arrest you. Like, I'm gonna be there early, sir. Don't you worry, I will be there." And I was.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you very much for sharing your
Thank
story.
you, Linda.
So, let me ask you this last question. What are you doing for a sponsor and working steps now?
Since mine, oh, segue back into the story. So the sponsor that I had, she was going to do federal time, and lo and behold, when I showed up to county, who was in there except for my sponsor, which was
Right.
strange, but I know that we're at the end of our time here. So I have since written, there's a program called Behind the Walls, which allows you to get sponsorship with a woman who is, actively working on recovery and willing to reach out and help others in that in recovery as well. And so you send them an interest letter, they send you back an assignment, and then that goes back. I think there's three assignments in totality. And then based on your responses to those assignments, they partner you with the best fit, so to speak, and then you begin working the steps. I'm probably going to begin from the step one just because it'll be a new time, and I don't think you can work the steps too many times. And so I think I got exactly as far as I needed to with that first little thing. And now I'm going to start over with someone new and hopefully dig a little deeper. Like, if that's the freedom that I got in that surface, I'm really excited to see like what tomorrow brings. And that's not
Yeah.
something I could have said a year ago.
Right. Wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you so much.
It
That's like a living proof of the internal, what happens internally when we work steps and work this
Yes.
program.
If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AA0. Again, that's 844-991-2962.